So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for all that you do for us. We thank you for all you do through the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father God, that you have given us this great gift of salvation. Father, we could not earn it. Our own personal merit is never sufficient enough to even touch the hem of your garment. But you gave it to us as a gift. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Lord, we thank you for that. We ask you to be with us this morning as we look at your word. Open our hearts unto you. You speak to us. You challenge us. Lord, maybe there's that one here today who just needs a special touch from you, carrying a heavy burden, carrying a heavy load. Lord, maybe there are others here this morning that need encouragement. Maybe there are those that this morning that are comfortable in themselves, that need to be challenged, to stretch themselves, to serve you just a little bit more, to reach out just a little bit more. Father, you know every heart here. I pray, Father, you work in them. Bless us now as we look at your word. For these things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You know, I don't really need to tell you that we live in a world full of uncertainty. On the international scene, there are huge and dangerous situations that are developing in the Middle East that have the potential to drag the entire world into war. The U.S. is involved in three major conflicts: Iraq, Afghanistan, Libya. And I heard on the radio the other day, and I haven't heard this at all on national news, that we're bombing in Yemen. Had you heard that? I hadn't heard that. But nevertheless, there's also the continuing threat of terrorism. On the national scene, it seems like political leaders are all caught up in all kinds of scandals, all kinds of corruption in government in the highest places. Economically, we seem to be on a runaway freight train that no one has the courage to throw the brakes on and say that's enough. Locally, we have crimes of violence, drive-by shootings, people putting their babies in plastic tins and carrying them around their car, all kinds of weird, sensational, crazy stuff. Budget tightening, school closings, all kinds of things, and many, many more that make us feel uncomfortable, make us feel fearful, certainly drive us to the point that we just feel like something is going to happen and we don't know what it is. Is there, we ask ourselves, is there no firm footing to stand upon? Is there anything we can trust and anything we can have confidence in? My response to those questions, of course, is yes, there is firm footing. Yes, there is one that we can trust in, one in which we can have complete confidence in, one who will never, never let us down. Ron Wilkinson wrote a song. You probably heard it. But one of the verses says, "When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God, I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God." Oh, yeah, that's the title of that, isn't it? Standing on the promise. You know, 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 56 says this: "Blessed be the Lord that hath given us rest to his people. According to all that he has promised, there hath not one word failed of all his promises, the immutable, the unchanging promises of God." Listen, not only did God keep and does keep every promise, but he never lets those promises fail. Not one word of his promises ever come to naught. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17 says, "Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutable," immutable means unchanging, course of his counsel, "confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable, unchangeable things in which was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation," strong encouragement, "who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor to the soul, both sure and steadfast." Aren't those great verses? Powerful verses. In an ever-changing and insecure world, there is security. There is an anchor for your soul. You'll find that in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a constancy, and everything is changing. Everything seems to be in flux. There is something that's unchanging, and that's the Lord God Almighty. There is a steadfastness in God. He continues to pursue. What he lays out, what he begins, he finishes. Over in 2 Peter, Peter says this, "The Lord is not slack, slow concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." The Lord God Almighty is not a liar. He keeps his word. He's not slow at all in acting upon it, but he has patience, loving us, and that patience works out for us in our good. Well, what are some of those promises of God? What promises have God made to us? I just picked out a couple this morning. You could probably think of others. But I just wanted to look at a couple this morning. David says over in Psalms chapter 4, verse 3, "Know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call upon him." First of all, David says we're set apart. That carries with the idea of sanctification. We are being made holy in him, having a special purpose, having a special use. Did you know that? That God has set you apart. That you're special. You've probably been told that in negative ways. But it's a positive thing. Only you are you. You're special. And God has a special purpose for you. God in Christ, when you repent and you surrender your life under his lordship, has made you a part of his forever family. Because of that special relationship, when you call, he hears. I've had the opportunity and the privilege of watching some of my grandkids. And of course, we've got a new one now. He's 16 months old and he's just full of steam. He rolls around and he's constantly going. But when he wants to take a nap, buddy, he wants to take a nap. You know, I need a break. He says, I got to get up there and get a little sleep. You say something to him about do you want to go night-night, Grayson? And he just heads that way. Now, I know your grandchildren don't do that. They probably fight you all the way. But he likes to take his nap. But one of the things that I've learned also is when I lay him down, I must listen for him. Because he will wake up. Usually about an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours if he's really tired. But he takes his little nap and then he wakes up. But you know, he's got such this beautiful little personality. He doesn't wake up shouting and crying and carrying on. He just starts talking. Now, he hasn't said anything that I can recognize, literally, verbally, but he just starts talking. And so, if you're not aware, if you're not listening, he could be up there by himself and he's just sitting there in the bed. So I listen. And when he calls, I come. Listen, you're part of God's forever family. You're his child. He loves you with an everlasting love. He wants to respond to your needs. When you call, he comes. When you call, he hears. He's listening for you to call. He knows your needs. He knows your desires. He knows all those kind of things. And he wants to respond. Isn't that a great promise? God hears you when you call. God wants to respond to you. You know, I thought about something not too many years ago. You know, my mom's been passed away for a couple of years. And I began to think about things a little differently. And sometimes I get calls. And I think to myself, you know, oh, gosh. You know, listen to the call. It's da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And sometimes it's a very genuine need, and sometimes you think to yourself, why did they call about that? You know? But sometimes I get calls. And I thought to myself, you know, now how would Jesus answer those calls? That's the way we should be thinking, shouldn't we? But sometimes we go, oh, gosh. No, we should be thinking, how would Jesus respond to that call? And the Lord started laying on my heart something that I could understand. The Lord started laying on my heart this. Hello? Hi, John. You know? Hi, John. Yeah. Hi, Dennis. You know? But the Lord said, it's not Dennis calling. It's not John calling. It's your mother calling. What if your mother called you? Mike Harris, what if your mother called you and said, hey, my sink is leaking. I don't know what to do about it. Don't think to yourself, oh, call a plumber. No. What if your mother called and she said, my sink is leaking? You know what I would do? I'd get myself over there and I'd start working on it. I'd take my tools and whatever, and I'd get over there and start working on it. So the Lord kind of used that to think, to remind me that that's what we should be doing. Because, in fact, it's not simply John or Dennis or whoever it is. It's not simply that person in need. It's not just simply that call. But actually, it's not just simply my mother calling. I can understand that one. It touched my heart. It's not simply Dennis calling. It's the Lord saying, hey, you there. Here's an opportunity for you to serve me. Here's an opportunity for you to use your gift. Here's an opportunity for you to get up off your lazy behind and do something for me. Does God ever talk to you like that? So, listen, David says that because we're part of God's family, he hears. He wants to hear. He never answers the phone. Oh, gosh. He never does that. He always answers like it's his mother calling, like our mother calling, like Jesus calling us. He answers because he wants to respond. And you call upon him for anything. For anything. He's never too busy. He's never reluctant to hear. He's never out of town. He's never out of help. He's always there. Isn't that great? That's a promise of God to us. God also promises to provide for us protection and defense. Over in Psalms chapter 5, verse 11 through 12, it says this, but let all those who put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also have love that love thy name, be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor will thou compass him as with a shield. You know, I know the very first thing that comes to your mind when I talk about the protection and the provision of God. You say, well, I'm not so sure that God always acts the way I want him to act. I think that's true. And we always have to understand the plan of God and his overall plan. There, the protection of God is for us. In Psalms in chapter 8, it says, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Boy, I'll tell you, that's a promise. God's divine protection for his people. He loves us. But we always have a struggle with that. We always have a struggle with that, his protection and his ability to protect. We need to remember, first of all, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So God's protection and God's shield and buckler around us, we must necessarily realize that we have an adversary. An adversary who wants to attack, who wants to destroy, who wants to bring us down, who wants to make obliteration of our lives, our hopes, our dreams. So we need to put that into the mix. Secondly, we also need to remember that sin has consequences. The Bible says what? The wages of sin is death. Over Romans chapter 5, verse 12, Paul says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered in the world, and by death sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." So we have a great adversary who's active and overt in his deliberate force to try to bring down and destroy our lives. And then when in us, we have the sin working its way out of us in everyday life. I think there's something that we need to remember in this, and that's the prevenient grace of God. This particular aspect of God's will says we are sinners, yet through God's prevenient grace, God allows us to choose, exercise. We're sinners, but God still reserves for us the power of choice and has given us free will. So we have an adversary, we fight sin, and we also make choices. You know, sometimes our choices are bad. We make a choice, and it's bad. And there, because of that choice, there is a result of that choice. So we need to remember those things as we're thinking about the protection of God. God's perfect will, of course, His sovereign will. I believe through the Holy Ghost that God is constantly seeking to seek the lost, prick their hearts, draw them unto Him. I think the psalmist says that even unto the crushing, even unto death, God will not give up. You know, sometimes we give up, don't we? We just say, well, old so-and-so, he's just a drunk, he's just a this, he's an alcoholic, he's a drug addict, he's a this. You know, we bring all that stuff in and we just throw our hands up and say, well, God never does. He continues to work. But He's also constantly seeking to work with us as believers to get us where we need to be as well. And these efforts that God instills us through the Holy Spirit of God, they're for our best interests as well. Again, Romans 8 and 28, we use that for our unity verse this morning. He says, Paul says what? We know. Do we know that? We should, shouldn't we? We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Let me just say this. Therefore, I may not be able to explain to you how all God's sovereign care over you works. But I believe and I affirm that God sustains you. He guards you. He wants the best for you, and He's working it out for you. The Lord's Prayer says, give us our daily bread. God wants you to have the provision you need every day. He watches over us like a loving father, and He has our best interests at heart. Jesus said over in Matthew chapter 7, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. You see, God wants to hear. God's not hiding. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Verse 9 says, what man is there of you whom if a son asks for bread will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish will give him a serpent? Then Jesus says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. Now listen, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give unto you good things to them that ask Him? That's a promise of God. His protection, His care and His provision for us. I spoke to Forrest this morning just briefly, asking him how his job was coming along. He's looking towards getting a new job. It seems like it's just a slow process. They just keep playing him out on the string. Yes, 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 yes. But in the course of that conversation, Forrest said, you know, I can just imagine other folks who are in this situation that have not been blessed with the resources that I've been blessed with, how this must affect them in their lives. And we agreed. The pressures that's put on people, their families, their children, just be simply because they don't have a job, is enormous. They must feel like they're all by themselves. They must feel like there's no sure place to stand. They must feel like that the uncertainty is so great as to cause great harm and pain and depression in their lives. It must be that way. But let me just remind you that God cares for you and He makes provision for you. God promises His presence with us. In Matthew 18, Jesus says this, and you can quote this verse, "Where two or three are gathered together in My name, there I am in the midst of them." We often quote that as we come together for worship, and that's a valid and acceptable understanding of that. Matthew 28, Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." You see, you're not alone. God promises us that He will hear us. He will hear our prayers. But we must pray. God promises to set us apart, but we must choose to pursue the Lord. God will not and never will He leave us nor forsake us. God's promise is to be with us, but we must be receptive to His Spirit and His will to be able to understand how He walks with us day by day. Over in Hebrews chapter 13, the writer of Hebrews states this. He says, "Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever." Amidst all the uncertainties of life, amidst all the changingness, the ebb and flow, amidst all the things that can bring to us great pain and heartache, Jesus is the same. Let me ask this one more thing. Most of all, I want to remind you of the promise that God loves you. In Jeremiah chapter 31, He says, "I love you with an everlasting love." Jesus says over in John 15, He says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Someone has said, and I believe it is a pointed illustration of the love of God, when Jesus died and He spread His hands out for you, He said, "I love you. And I will not take that love back." And I believe that to be true. You know, it's an amazing thing. As we walk through this life, we have ups and downs. Sometimes we have joyful things that just makes us smile. All those kind of things. You know, when you pick up that grandbaby and he pukes all over you, it's a wonderful thing. We have all kinds of stuff happen to us, don't we? Some good, some bad, some terrible, some wonderful. But let me just remind you, God loves you in every case. He loves you in every case. I don't know. I think that most of us, fortunately, never experience traumatic, almost unbearable heartache. Some have. Some do. I remember talking with Truman one day and came in and he said, "Here, sit down, eat with me." And so over at the nursing home, I said, "Okay, fine, if that's fine." He said, "Oh, yeah, sure, they're good with that." And so I was sitting there and he had two other men with him. And I said something, just trying to be joking. I said something about, "How's the food taste here?" or something. And one of the guys said, "Wonderful, unbelievably wonderful." Gee, that's a pretty good recommendation. I kind of thought, you know, maybe bland. Have you ever ate hospital food? I always think it's kind of bland myself. You know, they don't want to put that salt and pepper and all that good stuff on there. You know, they want to keep you healthy, you know, supposedly. Anyway, so I thought bland might be the answer. Wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. I think, good grief. You know, and he said, oh, yeah, he said, I was a prisoner of the Japanese for 7 years during World War II. He said, we ate bugs and spiders, anything we could get our hands on. And he said, I determined in my heart that if I ever got anything good to eat, I'd never complain about it again. The food here is wonderful. Listen, God loves you. Have you ever had to do anything that just seemed impossible? Through these things, when God goes with us, God demonstrates His love for us. Many, many times, because of that adversity, God then allows someone else to enter that journey, someone else to come in and exercise the gifts, the talents, the character that God has given to them to minister to us. They grow and are blessed. We grow and are blessed. Listen, God hears you. Don't ever think that God doesn't. When you cry out to God, He hears you. Now, God may not answer your prayer exactly like you want it to be answered, but He always hears. God's provision for you is always the same. He always wants the best. He never wants the obstacle, the challenge to overcome you. God always loves you. Heavenly Father, in this world of such huge uncertainty, sometimes we recognize and realize that our friends fail us. Sometimes our parents, even those who should love us most, aren't able, Lord, to show the kind of need and the care that we need. Father, sometimes we're just bitterly disappointed by all kinds of circumstances that surround our lives. But Father, help us to turn our face to You and recognize that in You all the promises are true. They're all yea. Every one is a yes for us. Maybe that's all we have today, but it is sufficient. Maybe that's all we can cling to today to retain our sanity, but that's sufficient. Maybe that's all we have to hope to be able to provide for our family, but that is sufficient in You. Father God, our life is in You. Help us to be strong for You, so that indeed being strong for You, we can be a blessing to other. And in being a blessing to other, we will be blessed. Lord, decisions need to be made this morning. Open, public decision, first time profession of faith, whatever it might be. Heavenly Father, this is Your place. This is Your altar. You use it as You see fit. For these things I ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.